Chapter 13. Several days later, Allison and Mason strolled along the street after a pleasant meal at a French restaurant. It had been warmer the last few days, which mostly meant the snow had melted off and there were no additional falls forecast for a few weeks. It might have been the end of white winter for Seattle, but that only made it chilly and wet. Allison felt no guilt for her date night, despite the concerns over the suspicious communication. Until they had more information, the team had nothing to act on. Tahir continued his attempts to probe and to track the sender, but to his frustration had reached a dead end. Whoever they were, they hadn't responded to his message to say they'd given Omni to a dog collector who claimed he was a rare breed. They'd settled on a Welsh collector in the end. I wonder if dark wizards are now running all over Wales looking for Omni, or maybe mobsters or Nerak poachers. The line separating Earth from Orisaran is blurry already, and the gates are barely open. Earth won't look like Earth in a few hundred years. There's always trouble happening, but life goes on. We have to keep living. There's no other choice, really. If I stopped and always waited for the hammer to fall, I would never get anything done. And if I really do live a long time, I need to appreciate every moment I have. She laughed at a sudden realization. Mason looked at her in query.
What's so funny, eh? I thought you just said how much you liked the restaurant and appreciated all the flavors there. It had good reviews and my food tasted good.
He shrugged. Oh, I loved the restaurant. She shook her head. What I was laughing at had nothing to do with that.
What then?
I think you and Hannah have changed me, she explained. And some of the others, too, of course, but mostly you and Hannah.
Changed you? I hope it was in a good way.
He grinned.
I don't see how you're different, though. You're still the same woman I fell in love with.
That's sweet, but I have changed. I thought about how I still wanted to have my date night despite all this crap. She shrugged. The old Allison, even the woman you met when we first started dating, wouldn't have thought about that. She would have been too concerned about taking care of everything and anything before she dared to have any fun. It's one of the reasons I had no life, basically, before I moved to Seattle. It was the job all the time. And if it wasn't the job, it was dark wizards or training. I felt more guilty about taking any time away from that. She smiled. Hannah helped to start breaking me out of thinking like that, and you finished the process. It's only funny to realize how far I've come in such a short time. We were talking with your parents about how long I might live, but I've changed so much already, and I'm still young, even for a human.
There's nothing wrong with a little relaxation or healthy change.
Mason put his arm around her and pulled her close. There weren't many other people on the cold street, but numerous cars passed them. I've always known that, but it's taken me a while to truly accept it, she replied. I don't know. I suppose I felt on some level like I didn't deserve to have a normal life while bad things were happening, especially because of what happened to my mom. My biological mom, I mean. She frowned. I hate referring to her that way. I loved her as much as I love Shay, but... She shook her head. That was the beginning of everything for me. It's not like I had a totally carefree childhood before that, but it was a lot to take in as a teen, especially since my father was the one who betrayed her to the Hurricane.
Don't overthink it. Stay as the new Allison.
His expression turned thoughtful.
The thing is, we both know there are always bad things happening. If not in your city, then in your state. If not in your state, then in the country. And if not in your country, than another country. But it's not any one person's responsibility to stop all those bad things. That's the point of having society. Even your dad knows that.
Allison shook her head. But he's not like me. It's not that he doesn't care, but he's always been far more about, leave me alone and I won't punch you. You could argue that I go looking for more trouble. He didn't set out to establish a brownstone effect. It simply worked out that way. But I've tried to achieve it deliberately. I started a security company because it was the most efficient way I could think of to leverage my bounty hunting skills into protecting people. Mason smiled.
Then don't worry about any of it and simply enjoy date night. Let this new, relaxed Allison live. I'm sure we'll find out that the government created 10 Omnis to destroy the planet or something annoying like that. But until we do, there's no reason not to enjoy our time together. We can't know what tomorrow will bring. All we can do is enjoy the present.
She stopped abruptly and turned her head toward a brightly lit shop beside her.
Dozens of necklaces and expensive rings stood on stands in the window display.
What is it?
He followed her gaze.
Did you see something?
It's a jewelry store, she explained as a silly idea percolated in the back of her mind.
I can see that.
He shrugged.
There are a few of them in this neighborhood.
Allison smirked. Maybe we should go in there and look at some rings, since we've talked about that kind of thing. It might be good to get an idea of what's available. He nodded, a serious look on his face.
Yes, maybe we should. That's not a half bad idea.
Damn it. Her heart rate kicked up. It had been a joke, and she'd not expected him to call her bluff. Mason leaned toward her ear, and his hot breath tickled the sensitive skin there.
I have something to tell you,
he whispered.
Something important. Something you need to hear right now.
Oh, crap. I told him not to make it epic, but now's not the greatest time. Then again. Whoa, wait. Am I ready for that already?
What is it?
Allison asked, shivering, but not from the cold.
We're being followed, he whispered. I think we should go into the store to see if whoever it is gives up. There aren't many people on the street, but between the stores and cars, if we start anything, it'll get messy.
I'd love to check out rings, sweetie, Allison replied, her voice at normal volume. There was no reason to let him know he'd won the bluff war.
She forced a huge fake smile on her face.
I want the best ring for this special day.
He snickered and winked.
I'm sure you do. And I want to make sure you get it.
I don't know if I should be freaked out that he seems so happy about fake ring shopping, or annoyed that some assholes are trying to mess up my date night. I wonder who it is. At this point, there was a rich list of suspects to choose from. Mason opened the door and gestured inside. She entered and enjoyed the rush of warmth over her chilled face. Diamonds, gold, and silver glittered under the bright lights of the store. A young raven-haired saleswoman with the perfect chignon and an even more perfect diamond hairpin through it clasped her hands together and rushed toward them.
You probably get this all the time, but has anyone told you that you look exactly like Allison Brownstone?
Her smile widened.
The resemblance is uncanny. It's not like I've met her, but I've seen her on the news.
She shrugged, guilty as charged, but that makes sense because I actually am Allison Brownstone. The woman's eyes widened and her mouth formed a perfect O.
I'm so honored that you would choose to shop here, she gasped. You're not the first celebrity to come here. Did someone recommend you? I heard you're friends with Jericho Cartwright. Did he recommend us to you? He bought a necklace here for a girlfriend when he was in town filming. A beautiful piece. I was so jealous.
The diamond necklace she wore could probably feed a family or two for a long while. Allison shook her head.
I've been near him, but I wouldn't exactly say we're friends.
Mason threw his arm around her shoulder again.
I'm glad you're so enthusiastic. We're here to look at engagement and wedding rings.
Oh, come on. We didn't need to play it up inside, too.
Oh, my, the saleswoman squealed. The problem with you, Allison, is there's so little in the news about your personal life, only all those criminals you deal with.
She studied Mason.
I'd heard you were dating someone from your company, but I didn't know he'd be so handsome.
She grabbed Allison's free hand and tugged her toward a display case.
I have some great suggestions, perfect for someone as special as you.
Well, great. Now every gossip site in the country will talk about my upcoming wedding that's not even happening. Not anytime soon, anyway. Damn it. I need to focus. There's someone following us, and Mason is taking the opportunity to mess with my head. She glanced out the front window. An elderly couple wandered past. They could be disguised assassins, but they didn't look at her, and she didn't sense any magic from them. When she turned again, the saleswoman pointed to a ring with a huge yellow stone that looked like it should be used in siege engines to destroy walls rather than worn on anyone's hand.
Now, I understand that as a part Oriseran, you need a special ring, the assistant suggested. We don't have anything magical at our particular shop, but it's not like anyone expects their engagement and wedding rings to have actual powers, right? Merely the power of beauty and elegance?
Well, Mom's rings do, but that's unfair. And I haven't... I'm really getting sucked into this. The woman tugged her forward and pointed at another ring. The latest piece was filled with so many facets, it might as well have been its own mine.
I suppose I should have asked this from the beginning,
She glanced from Allison to a grinning Mason.
What price point are we looking at? It never helps to assume.
Oh, price isn't a concern, he replied. You can't give an engagement ring to a princess if you quibble about price.
He winked. Very funny, Mason. The saleswoman nodded, her face deadly serious.
I so agree.
She turned to Allison. If you want, I can give you my card, and I can do some research on Orisarin and Drow rings, Miss Brownstone. Or do you prefer Princess Brownstone?
Allison grimaced. Allison's fine, and even if we did use my title, I'm not Princess Brownstone. I'm Allison, Princess of the Shadowforged, but only... She sighed. Let's look at more rings.
30 minutes later, they stepped outside with the woman's card in both their pockets and having experienced a fine and thorough tour of the most expensive rings in the store. Allison had learned more about how to evaluate rings in that short trip than she had in her entire life.
That was fun,
Mason quipped with a smile, and his gaze swept their surroundings.
Unfortunately, it didn't solve our problem.
He slipped his arm through hers and continued up the street.
Our friends are still there, he whispered. It's like they waited for us the entire time. Several men, brown hair, dark suits, no obvious wand holsters, but they might have them concealed, or they might be non-magicals with a few surprises of their own.
She frowned, but didn't bother to look over her shoulder. It would be too obvious.
We're still not in a good position to fight, she whispered in response. Even if I use my wings and attack them, they'll still manage to fire and might hit someone.
The parking garage, he suggested. There will be fewer people there, and it's more contained. It'll help stop rogue bullets or spells. Maybe we can even head in there and hide with the spell until they get bored and leave or confront us.
The parking garage, she groaned. What about my Fiat?
Priorities, eh?
He winked.
Unless you have a better plan?
I don't, but if my car is blown up, I'll make you explain it to Mom.